Welcome back to A Christian's Guide to the Quran. The material that you're about to see or hear is on YouTube at the Professor English channel, and it's at sermonaudio.com/aservant70 for those who prefer the audio. You can get a transcript there also, or go to ezinearticles.com. We're talking about the Quran, Islam's holy book. This is lesson 6. Today's subject is the ecumenical approach. Now, I don't have a lot to say about the ecumenical approach to Islam, except this, it won't work. Now, you got a fish and an alligator. They're trying to be ecumenical. Eventually, one's going to be inside the other. The history of ecumenicity thus far is that the most aggressive group tends to swallow up the others. Look closely at the line of Protestants today marching back to Rome, denying the Reformation, denying the significance of salvation by grace through faith, denying that the scriptures are enough, believing it is Rome out of which we came when we all actually descended from the events that transpired in an upper room of a house in Jerusalem. AD 33. Hear the big sucking sound as Rome's vacuum just brings them in from every corner of the earth. Rome calls to ecumenicity but ends in devouring. And no, there's also no way to unite with Islam. Its premise, its God, its book, its main character, its doctrines, its goals, its final destination, all radically different from the Christians. So you see some similarities. Well, may I use another animal analogy? Does it matter that a man and a bear both have legs and eyes and skin? They're two different species. And one who confuses them and wants to be ecumenical does so at his own peril. We're not looking for the similarities of our religions. We're looking for the dangerous and deadly differences so that we may warn others. When I think of Chrislam, ever heard of that? Chrislam. Ill-fated attempt of some to combine Christ with Muhammad. And the motivations behind it? I can't help but think of the beloved Billy Graham, a man whom I honor to this day for the gospel that he placed in my heart as a much younger man. Billy had an approach to Catholicism in his early days that differed radically from his later method. In those first days, Billy and his team would just go door to door, knocking on doors, in Catholic neighborhoods, winning Catholics to Jesus Christ. Catholics came to his crusades and were saved. But his approach changed. There came a time when to offend a Catholic and the Catholic powers that ruled certain cities became an issue. He made a conscious decision not to be offensive, to unite with Catholicism in his crusades and his messages. He began to praise the current Pope of that day. He promoted Catholic books. In turn, he received an honorary degree from a Romanist college, an unceasing public praise from Romanist powers, even to this day. In his crusades, priests and nuns were among the counselors that welcomed seekers into the fold, following a repentance-inducing message. Can you imagine it? The ecumenical approach opened doors for him personally In Latin America and elsewhere, though, the confusion mounted. What were Catholic bishops doing on the platform of Billy's meetings? The missionaries and nationals wanted to know, what do we tell people that have just been rescued from this works-based Catholic religion? What do we tell them? Go back? Ecumenicity always confuses and waters down. One wonders what might have happened to Billy Graham if he had continued his early approach, a simple gospel message to Romanists everywhere, papal power notwithstanding. Now, in those early days, Brother Billy grouped Catholicism with communism and the present subject of our discussion, Islam. He called it something else in those days, Mohammedanism. He said that those three things were the world's greatest threats. He was right on then, and he's right on now. You know, Rome is going to rise again. That's another subject for another day. In fact, it's already on some of my teachings. Communism has never left us. That, too, is another story. Islam is here, and Christians, many of whom should know better, are getting cozy with it. I think they're afraid. May no Christian ever be anti-Muslim. I want to draw that line now. Or anti-Catholic person, or even anti-communist person. People are people. They're lost. Most everybody you see is lost. And they're groping for answers, and they're victims of birth and geographical location and faulty thinking. But may we be totally opposed to the lies that detract from the supremacy of Christ and his cross. That means we must be anti-Islam, not Muslim. Islam, the philosophy, the system of ideas that is damning people to an eternal hell. Not that the Quran is all wrong. You know, it would take talent to make a book 100% false. Now, I speak of the poisonous denials of the faith of Jesus, that's found on so many pages of Islam's holy book. I will be showing you that in time. When dealing with Muslims or Christians who believe that basically we serve the same God, we have the same general purposes, we've got to use the words of the Quran itself. It is to this end that I'm going to take you through the Quran to see those words, coupled with the Bible statements which they attempt to supersede. I don't listen to those who proclaim Islam to be a peaceful religion, except in the sense of the Pax Romana, the peace of the Roman Empire that squashed all opposition by brutal force, and it's happening in Islam today. Nor do I listen to the radical Islamists who can only hate. Have you ever talked to one or heard of one? They just love to hate. No, I read the Quran for myself and its doctrines for myself. I make my own judgments. True, that translated Arabic lends itself to much in the way of interpretation. You can go a lot of ways. I know that, even among Muslim scholars. So knowing Arabic is not going to help me, because they fight among themselves. True also that Eastern thought is not Western thought, just generically speaking. But you know what? There's enough in the Quran that is in plainly to be understood language. The intention of the Quran's creator was to offset Jewish and Christian beliefs, and it's obvious to anyone. You won't need somebody interpreting. When you know the word and you put it up against anything that's not the word, you know. You'll know. Did Jesus call these people to dialogue or to declare? To have friendship or to confront people with truth? To a mutual respect or to a radical repentance? To political correctness and acceptability? Or predictable persecution and rejection? I've made my decision. I think most of you listening have made yours too. But if you haven't, it's about time, because things are changing. The times, they are changing. God bless you as you continue with me in this study. We've got a long way to go. Several more introductions, and then we want to go through the Quran, surah by surah. Bless you.